to the table, last to leave. Maynard Quigley.
No, I think Kim.
Kim Balfour?
Yeah.
He eats twice for everything.
We're corporates together.
He doesn't eat big, he just eats often. Well, those of you who wondered why it took from 9:15 in the morning until 1 something to go through 4 of the 9 steps, you think you have to do that on a daily basis and you anticipate you're taking 3 days to handicap a single race. Let me put your mind at ease. Jimmy, how long does it take us to do a race?
7 minutes, I think,
the time. The average time to actually do a race for the norm, how long does it take you, Stan?
10 minutes a race.
Okay, now Stan's an outstanding young man, but I wouldn't say that his progress has been meteoric, and it's taken him 10 to 12 minutes to race. Now, Stan, you don't go through every one of these steps ritualistically and write them down at step one. You'll find, as it has with Stan and with a lot of the other folks here, that these things come to you as a part of a process. What, for instance, when you're driving a freeway, when you're learning to drive, you learn step by step how to drive. And when you drive down a freeway and make those split-second decisions and turn off this off-ramp or that one or get in this lane for the next turn or whatever you're doing, you don't think about each step you're going to go through. Each step becomes autonomous, or else you wouldn't be living very long on the freeways. And the same is absolutely true with handicapping. These various steps, which we have dwelled on so meticulously, will come to you naturally, and some of them your eye will merely perceive, your second conscious will perceive, and you won't do them consciously. Some of you will not do at all. You will sense the same realities that you'll derive from the Quigley or one of the other concepts used. You'll derive it without having to go through the steps. But I would recommend that everybody do an APV on every horse in the race. That only takes, 45 seconds.
Hey, Howard?
Sir?
About 2.5 minutes of that watching television and about 2.5 minutes of that directly typing error.
You're showing off now. They believe 10 to 12 minutes, but now you get it down to 5, you're trying to... Well,
before we get started, can I clarify the IBM problem?
Yeah, Bernie wants to clarify something with the people who have been complaining about his brilliant IBM program. Well, it is brilliant, because I told them, never make a mistake, ever. The IBM program is correct. We just ran it here. It's Howard's terminology that's wrong. The reason you don't get factor W when you say no to average to APVs is because on that readout you have factor W and AP, which stands for average pace. Factor W is average pace adjusted by the class if you use APVs. If you do not use the APVs, you have no class adjustment, you're not going to get a factor W. Okay? It doesn't print out the APVs. It's actually the formula in the yellow manual. It's average purse value, in the money, consistency, and earnings per start, the three formulas that were in the yellow manual that make a class adjustment. And that's what your factor W is on the program, both of you guys, okay? So your program is correct. If you want an adjusted average pace, say yes to APVs, and it's not really APV, it's the class adjustment, and it'll go on factor W. If you say no, you're not going to get a printout on factor W because you didn't make any class adjustment. Understood?
Is this the same on the Commodore?
No, I have no idea.
No,
the Commodore gives you a factor. What he's saying is that these guys didn't like the term factor W. They called it average pace, which it's not. It's factor W. Well, so what your raw readout that says AP is really raw factor W.
AP is raw factor W. Factor W is
adjusted factor W.
He doesn't look convinced to me, Bob.
No.
I don't see him jumping up and saying, oh, thank you.
when you say no. Right.
You're not
going to
get factor W, but you will get AP.
Which is factor W? Raw.
Raw factor
W. Raw factor W.
The other thing you don't get in the face of a racing
law. Well, it never did have that on.
No. We ran his. We got it both ways. His works. You get paid for us, paid for raise both, man. Okay. Where did you get the NH sword? Where did you get the NH sword? I beg your pardon? I probably just throw that one out. Okay, now thanks. Family problems on the East Coast get with George Clisham. He's much closer. He's right here. He's a terrific IBM man. He's, one of these days he's going to make a handicap or two. George is just, he just had to retire from his job. Now he's taking his handicap seriously. Now, George is all right. He's been in the penitentiary for 5 years. We haven't heard from him, but now that he's out, he's very trustworthy. He's sending you IBM, and you'll get it back. But we want you to be very happy before we leave on this subject. We're just kidding you a little bit. But we want to make, before you leave, get with some of these fellows and get your disc corrected or whatever. Okay? Promise? Okay. We have done now the various steps. Are there any outstanding questions on the subject of eliminations by the eligibility of the form cycle, baseline selection, the matchup concept? Because they all dovetail. Reducing the number of contenders to 5 is really taking the factors we have up till now discussed and gone through and putting them all together and utilizing to get down to the 5 contenders. Why do we need 5 contenders? Well, when you get down here to step number 9, making a Brohammer model and track profile, which is one of the most dynamically important aspects of handicapping you can do, you're going to find out that you need 5 horses to make a predictive model. So if you get so good you can get it down to 2 or 3, stick in 2 more anyway to make a model. And remember, after you get the winners with regularity, you're going to be looking for exactas and quinellas and even trifectas. You'll need to have a place horse for the exactas and quinellas and show horse for trifectas. So all of these things dovetail into the most important aspect of handicapping yourself and the horses is getting it down to 5. There are 3 aspects of handicapping, all 3 of which must be mastered to make you a total handicapper and a successful investor. The first is you must handicap the horses. The second is you must handicap the track you're playing so that you will know which of the horses you have handicapped best fit the energy requirements of that track for win, place, and or show. And thirdly, you must handicap yourself in relationship to these 2 facts. When those 3 come together in perfect harmony, then you are a consummate professional. So, having gone through these initial steps, how do we put it all together to get the contention down to 5, and the man generally speaking, you have the moderator, the guy who doesn't know anything about the subject. When I went to X484, they had me moderate trip handicapping.
I thought trip handicapping was handicapping under the influence of narcotics. So they made me the moderator.
You did a pretty good job.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the moderator always tells everybody else how great they are. To be able, but Purdy in this case really can get it down to five. In fact, second only to Bradshaw and Brohammer, who's not here to defend himself, he's as good as anybody at getting it down to three. Sometimes Purdy gets it down to one and the other horse comes in. That's the only thing. So here's Bob to moderate this all important step. One question about this applause. Are you applauding the guy for getting off or the guy for coming on?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to give you an example of how I usually get the contenders down. I want you to bear in mind that this is for California. Michael has tested this and it doesn't work in New York. But I can't tell you what works in New York. Michael will have to tell you that. You can go over there on the panel and you can ask him a question. The idea of boiling the race down to the contention is to separate the wheat for the chaff and look for the winner, obviously. A quick and dirty way to do that without throwing out the winner is pretty simple. Three little guidelines. Now remember, this is California. I will leave in any horse that is dropping in class today. That's the first thing I look for. Any horse that's dropping in, I'm going to run a pace line or run it through contender scan. The next horse I'll leave in is any horse that is up close, say three or four lengths, at the finish. In either one of his last two races, providing it's at today's level. Or higher. And the third step is I'll keep in any horse that has a win in his last two races, regardless of what level. If I've gone too fast, anybody needs that? Again?
Can I repeat it once more?
Sure. Step one. I will leave in for consideration any horse dropping in class today. Step two, I will leave in for consideration any horse that was up close at the finish in either of his last two races, providing that race was at today's level. If it was higher, he's already qualified under step one. And the third one is any horse that has a win in his last two races, regardless of the level, is a horse that I'm at least going to consider for today's race. Now, I have three exceptions to that. Okay, and I put them down as exceptions. Any of the remaining horses that were claimed in their last two races, I want to look at. I may or may not use them, but if they were claimed in their last race, I want to look at it very close, or at one of the last two races. The next exception, if the last race only, was a fair effort after a layoff. In other words, am I going to project improvement of this horse or not? That's a call that I have to make. You'll have to make your own. What is a layoff? Is it 30 days, 60 days, 90 days? What do you consider a layoff? That's your call. The final exception is a sprinter that is today stretching out. And in his last race, or possibly the last two, are running through phase three, or use a hand calculator. If he has a 24 feet per second third fraction,
pretty slow, Bob.
I'm sorry, 54. 54, excuse me. 54 feet per second, third fraction. Then I may consider this horse.
Would you repeat that again, please?
Sure. If a sprinter is stretching out to a route today, preferably his last race, possibly the last two, not beyond that, he has a third fraction of 54 feet per second or greater. Then I'll look for a way to include him. That may indicate the horse's ability to stretch out. That's it. That's what I use. Tom Brohammer, who's a stickler for detail, tested this over literally hundreds and hundreds of races in Southern California. Now, let me reiterate that. That's not Northern California. That's just Santa Anita, Hollywood Park, and Del Mar. 7% winners were thrown out with these simple little guidelines. So 93% of the time, we did not eliminate the winner from consideration. Quite often, doing this, you only have one horse left to consider. And you save yourself a lot of time. Michael, why don't you speak for New York?
Bob.
Go ahead.
Close up, you mean by 4 or 5?
Judge McCall again. Me, 3 or 4 lengths.
Any track but New York, in other words, Hawthorne, Arlington,
California,
or just Southern California.
3 tracks only. This we know works.
Is that just because you have data based in Southern California?
It's because I live in Southern California and I play Southern California tracks.
No, I mean,
it works in Northern California. Tom tested it out there.
Oh, he did? Okay.
So I wouldn't call it universal, but it's really good. I wanted to just say one thing. This was the one part of the methodology that I had more trouble with than anything else. It took me 45 minutes to get down to 5 horses in one race. Agony. One day I'm sitting next to Tom Brohammer, what's his name, and Tom wanders over in his slow, methodical manner and gets himself tomorrow's racing form, and he sits back down, flips it open, and starts choosing contenders. And it didn't take him 30 seconds. Now, I am willing to admit that he's better than I am. I'm willing to admit he's twice as good as I am, but he is not 100 times better than I am. And it really, really, really annoyed me. And I buckle down and I use these things in an almost, you may not do it mechanically, but an almost mechanical fashion. And amazingly enough, I stopped on away winners. I used to throw away at least 2 or 3 winners in every 20 race cycle. And I haven't thrown away. I didn't throw away one in all of the Hollywood meets. These things work very well. You must validate them for yourself at your track. And you may have to change some of these. If you notice that one of these is throwing away winners for you all the time, you've got to make a change. And that's how they were developed. They didn't test just 3. They maybe tested 20, and these were the 3 that worked. There's always a lot of hard work behind anything simple, but these really work. And we use them in Las Vegas, and I don't know, they seem to work everywhere.
The thing is, you have to learn what works for you. You know, I don't know what works in New York or Hawthorne or anywhere else because I don't play those tracks unless I go to Las Vegas.
And Bob, you know, in all fairness, the truth be known, I haven't, when Tom first told me about these things, so what, 18 months, 2 years ago, I used them for a while, for about 3 or 4 months, and found out I was throwing out too many winners with them. I haven't run them recently, they may be perfectly valid. I did throw out the 15-1 shot and won the 3rd race today, the Saratoga, but that notwithstanding, they're good guidelines. You need to see whether they fit with the track that you're playing. So you can't just say Hawthorne yes or this. Yes, you really got to look and see.
You need to develop a set of guidelines for your own use that will allow you not to throw out winners. That's the whole concept here. It's just to boil it down to who the contenders are in this race, and then let your method decide who's going to win the race.
Bob, can I speak to the gentleman about Hawthorne and Arlington when it, before it burned down? What I usually do with those particular tracks is I follow the guidelines and the conditions as far as the cutoff date is concerned after I do the APV for every horse like the doctor suggested. And I'll even go one race beyond the cutoff date. And what I do is I look for horses who have good current condition, early pace or good late pace, and I try to flush out all the surprises, like horses that are dropping in class with hidden fractions, horses who have been fresh in 3, 4, 5 weeks, brought back and maybe had a race or two. And this is the way I narrow my field down to 5 horses. And quite often you don't have 5, you may have 4 or 3. And using your track profile, you could get it down to 2 horses. It's real easy once you get it down to that point.
Bobby, I think that your 54 feet per second on the sprinter stretching out is excellent. I think it would be a universal accepted. A horse that can stretch out like that shows that it wants to move up. It would withstand any sprint to route adjustment.
Yeah, he'll survive it.
Yeah.
He may not run through it, but he'll survive the adjustment.
How much of the energy too?
Something I used to do before I learned the methodology, or knew about the methodology, was when I ran into a race where a sprinter was stretching out, he had to have a race conform speed rating within 4 seconds of the track record in one of the last 2 races. I figured if he could accomplish that, then he would have enough what we call total energy now to finish the race.
Any number of ways to do that. It's quick and dirty to find out if he's got 54 feet per second. Even quicker than that is to use Bob's method for the sprinter stretching out today.
There's one gentleman here who benefited from one of the most mundane and basic of ways of getting it down to 5 horses, or at least getting 5 horses that must be considered. And that is, although I know you don't get the track program the night before at many places, is to take the top 4 or 5 choices on the morning line. Not sweeps top 5, not the top odds, the top 5 on the morning line. We tested this for 10 solid years in Las Vegas, reports where they get 5 to 7 tracks. So they can go over every day over the winter and see how they figure it on the morning line. The top 5 morning line horses at every track in the United States, without exception, except Blue Ribbon Downs, where the morning line odds maker doesn't know what an overlay is. Yeah. No, actually, it works with Blue Ribbon Downs too. But the top 5 on the morning line win 86% of the races, day in, day out. And there's a gentleman standing right down here who was having trouble eliminating. What's your story?
Well, I just did that and eliminated everything that went off 1-to-1 in the main races and the 1-to-80%. There's a guy who was trying to blues to me 3 weeks before we told him that, just that one little tip. Now he's up to 80% still. That's their night. They're not going to give these things away anymore.
It does work at Belmont and Aqueduct.
I'll repeat it over the mic so you can hear.
Top 5.
It works about every place we've ever seen.
Top 5 track morning line.
The program that you buy at the track does a very good job in the top 5. When Howard and I used to go to Hollywood Park and spend a week there, I don't like to drink much, but he does.
I drink what you spilled.
We don't handicap at night. We go out and park. We get up early in the morning, hungover, and have a cup of coffee, walk over to the track, within walking distance of the track, pick up the program, and run only the first 5 choices through our program.
And ties.
Ties. And that was it. I mean, that's how we did our eliminations when we go out having a good time. You can win and still get drunk every night and have a good time.
And by the way, this works at Las Vegas. Because the sheet that you get listing the horses are official track program odds. And the last 3 days I was there, it was over 90%.
How's the work your plate finish?
Pardon?
Does it usually include the plate finishes, the hydro tenders?
No. You got to look further for that.
You got a handicap to get the plate off. Does everybody understand that now? It's the top five antis.
He said something about Aqueduct and Belmont. Somebody
said something
about
it.
Works
all the time.
Especially good there.
Let me back up just a minute and refresh something. You take a race, say that a Del Mar, that is not carded for an exacta race or an exotic, then, yes, it will get the place for it. And that's most tracks where a race is not carded for an exotic. The place horse is usually in the top five morning line odds.
Let me ask you a question. Just the New Yorkers up there. Is the spreadsheet that the OTB gives out, is that the track program on?
If you notice, at least downstate, in the city, in New York, they'll have them printed beforehand. Or on the board, they'll have them printed beforehand with OTB's approximate morning lines, and then there's a little dash next to them,
right,
which they fill in afterward, and that is the official track morning line, the one that they fill in later.
Well, for the most part, you don't have to go to the track. I mean, you can get those at OTB.
At OTB, yeah, sure. But I don't think you can get them until mid-morning sometime.
Yeah. What about the overnights? Because when do they establish it? Going to New York. What about the overnight
peaks,
you know, when you get to tomorrow's
traffic? 3:30 in the afternoon is when the deadline is.
Morning line on it?
No, there's no morning line at all on that. The first morning line that comes out is the one that's in the form, or the one OTB comes out with 9 a.m. when they open. And then the track's morning line is, I think, available 10:30 or 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock usually when the track opens.
The track program line are often
totally
different.
Oh, yeah.
Baker has no relationship to Hermes.
Oh, no, never used it before. Sweeps, you can't. No way.
They're working 2 or 3 days in advance. I had dinner with Sweep in Los Angeles not too very long ago. And that's where son of a gun. He
was
like a dog. He's doing 7 tracks, 200 races a day, sweeps it up until he's done.
That's why they call him Sweep to find out.
and I'm amazed that he does anything.
It's possible, but the statistic we are sure of is that the ones that appear in bad tracks, good tracks, and the ones we get in Vegas, it's more predictive than any single exterior force we've ever found.
There isn't any way to determine that.
Your morning line would be based upon your own handicap.
Yeah, roughly.
Yeah.
You can make a correct morning line. You don't need the morning line to get the qualifier. You know, you don't need it then. This is for those who need it. Like me.
Any more questions on this subject?
Yeah, we get out tonight in L.A.
In
New York.
I'll care about talking to Brian at the newsstand the day before.
They've begun selling the programs, the official track programs now at OTB, since there are many more OTBs in New York City which are simulcasting, so you can get them there as well.
Any more questions on that subject? Yes, sure.
Is there anybody on the panel that's using this as a selection criteria, that that's the first pass, or is it APB, or are you using it in conjunction with?
When we go to Las Vegas, we want to play in volume. We want to play 17 to 22 races a day. In fact, Jimmy, when they start to sweep up at night and cockroaches come out on the floor, he starts waging on those. Then we know we got to take him to bed. We use that in Las Vegas first, and then we do all the other stuff. We're only interested in playing in volume, bang, bang, bang. And we'll look at the rest of the form, see if there's a long shot they missed or something. But those morning line favorites will get you $40 horses just as well as they'll get you $6 horses. Five and tie. Amazing. And when we tell people, they call, they say, well, that won't work for my track, because I know the guy, he's a drunk, he's this and that. Knowledge is a very dangerous thing, because if the fellow at the fairgrounds swore to God that he knew the fellow, he was totally incompetent, we checked him out for weeks and weeks, and he was at least confident enough to get the winner in the top five day in, day out. One a day is the most they'll ever miss. One a day. You can always count on one a day.
Can you account for that, please? For that reason? I mean, why he's so good?
No, we don't care. We learn not to question these things, otherwise we'll spend too much time worrying about why and not how. We just say it's been consistent for 11 years. This is the 11th year that it's been consistent. Sir?
Well, Howard, he had mentioned previously about horses going from a loop into sprints.
Would have
very
little
internal
traction.
Right.
You
don't find that the
Dubinsky thing. They're generally in the top five. Yeah, they'll be in the top five. You might find one not, and you might find a sixth horse that would be your big long shot. You don't stop looking just because of that, unless you want to play in big volume. In Vegas, we don't care if we lose two or three, because we've got another winner on the board so fast that we don't know what happened race after race. So at the end of the day, we count up.
Let me comment about that. I've never watched for that. But when I open up the form and I see that this race is a sprint, I immediately look to see if there is a router in this race who shows a really good sprint effort within that route race of his. It is such a rewarding play. Believe me, you guys better learn this. This is an excellent, excellent tool. I don't know whether they're in the top five or not. I hope not. They all seem to pay pretty good prices. So maybe the trackman is not quite aware that the routers he's got on his grounds there can be good sprinters when they show that type of effort. I might not apply them in the top five. I certainly would make him my top choice if the numbers come up. They don't come up, next case. But I always look at it as a very rewarding play.
I watched it.
Yes.
In going from sprint to a route, change the fraction?
Yes. I can recite it a chapter and a verse.
I'm sure you can. For example,
all right, why don't I just give you the form? All right, everybody pick up the pen or something. Howard, do you want to put this on the board?
Sure, go ahead, Michael.
Michael, put it on the board.
I know I have it
tonight.
Okay.
We'll just refresh everybody around since we're talking about it.
Oh, okay. I want to write on the board, but it's okay.
It's fine. You need me. It's fine.
What page is Bert's race on?
Bert's what's
that? 64? What page was that race on? Do you remember?
64.
No. It's on page 69. No, we're talking about Princess now.
All right.
Okay, 69. We're going to do My Princess. Okay, Richard, let me give you the route times just as they appear, all right? And we'll work from there. It's a mile and a 16. First fraction is 47 and 1. The second call is 112 and 4. Excuse me, 112 and 3. And the final time is 145 and 2. The beaten lengths at the quarter is ahead, 0.1. At the three quarter, it is a half. And the final is 14 and a half. 14 and a quarter. Okay, now just draw a big X through the final time and the final beaten length. We're not going to consider them at all. For phase three users, you want to create an arbitrary first fraction. This is just so you'll have something to look at. It is meaningless
in all of your computations. So it doesn't matter whether you get this real right or not. Okay?
Yeah, it does matter if on phase three, when you're looking at a compograph, because the length gained in the second fraction.
You've got to ignore that. It's a guesstimate.
It is a guesstimate.
Well, tell them that absolutely ignore the second fraction if you're going to do that.
Right. What we're going to concentrate on is factor W, or average pace, depending on which program you're using, early pace, and sustained pace. And those three factors do not use the first fraction at all. Okay? So we're going to create an arbitrary one for phase three because it asks you for the first fraction. And here's how you accomplish that. You take the half-mile time, which is 47 and 1, and subtract 2/5. What did that give us? 46 and 4. Divide that by 2. So it's 46.8 divided by 2. Okay, 23 and 2. Now take 2/5 off of that. That's your arbitrary first fraction. You've just manufactured the first fraction for this horse.
What's the answer? What's the answer?
Dick, have you got it?
What's the answer?
23 even.
23 even, I got it.
Okay, does everybody know how we arrived at 23?
You repeat that once more.
Okay. You take 47 and 2, which is in tenths, is 47 and 4, and subtract 0.4, right? 47 and 1, excuse me. And take 2/5 off. It gives you 46. Okay.
47.4.
All right, let me pick it up. I'm trying to do this from memory. Okay. 47 and 1 is the real time. Take 2/5 off of that, which gives you 46 and 4. Okay. Now divide the 46 and 8/10 by 2. It gives you 23.4 tenths. Now you're going to take off 2/5, which is 4/10.
So 23 flat.
So you have a 23 flat manufactured first fraction for this horse. Okay, done?
First fraction.
First fraction. So when it asks for the first fraction, you can put in 23.
If that was...
You're not going to trust that first fraction.
No, don't pay a lot of attention to it.
If you did all this in fifths just now, right?
Yeah.
If that had...
To divide by with a calculator, you got to change the fifths to tenths.
Okay. So the final number is in tenths.
23. I'll get to that in a minute. Okay. The next step is now to manufacture our second fraction. It says 47 and 1 in the form. Just take 2/5 off. 46 and 4 is your new second fraction. It's that simple. Just take 2/5 off.
Second column.
Yes. Now you want the final time. The final time in the form is 1/12 3/5. Take off 2/5. 1/12 1 is now the final time for your sprint race. Okay. questions on that. Just take two fizz off the second call and the final time. Okay, now here's how you treat the beaten links. You take the beaten links at the second, at the first fraction in the route race, which is ahead. Now we have to leave. Sorry. Yeah, I looked at the wrong order. Okay, it was behind ahead. Divide it in half and make it a middle. I mean, it's immaterial here, really. I have it hard-coded in my machine and will do it automatically. So you would have, instead of 0.1 as the beaten length at the first fraction, it would be half of 0.1 or 0.05. Just divide the beaten lengths in half. If it was 3, instead of ahead, if he was beaten 3 lengths in that route race, the first call, just divide the 3 lengths by 2. You got 1.5. So when it asks for the beaten lengths of the first fraction, put in 1.5. And the same for the second call, half of the beaten lengths. And the same for the final time. Whatever the horse was beaten, in this case, a half a length, just divide that by 2 and put in 0.25. He was beaten 1/4 of a length in your newly manufactured spring.
Let's go back here. You have to do this for 3 calls. The first 2 of those calls, you use the beaten length at the first call, then here's the walk.
That is correct. You take the in this case, the half mile time and beaten length of the route, which is ahead, or 0.1. Divide that by 2, it's 0.05, and you use that for the first 2 calls of your sprint. First 2 calls. The final beaten lengths are half of the beaten lengths at the 3/4 of that route. In this case, it's a half divided by 2 is 1/4. So you would, as you put in the data, it would be entered as 6 furlongs. When it asks for the distance, you put in 6 furlongs. It asks you for the first fraction, 23. The second one, 46 and 4. The final, was it 112 and 1?
Yeah,
112 and 2. 112 and 2? No, 112 and 1. 2/10. 112 and 1 is the final. It asks you for the first beaten lengths, 0.05. It asks you for the second beaten lengths, 0.05. It asks you for the final beaten lengths, 0.25. And you're done.
The corollary that we have found is true at Hollywood Park. Don't do this. It's a big track, and they run, particularly on the one turn mile, you don't want to do that.
Belmont, one turn mile, not 1/5 off the 3/4 mile time and leave everything else the same except cut the beaten lengths in half.
The experiment.
Yeah, one turn mile.
Yeah, just off 1/5 off the 3/4 mile time. So all you need to do about adjusting time. Divide your second call in half, but still would use half the beaten length. Remember, the horse is beaten 6 lengths at the 3/4 mile time, still he didn't run a fast early fraction, so you're not going to do this unless the horse had an outstanding sprint within the route. Now remember, don't just take a horse beaten 18 lengths and make it a 9 and expect to win the race.
Remember, you're looking for a horse that was competitive. I mean, at or near the pace.
Pressing the pace or leading
the pressing or leading the pace in the 6 furlong element of that route race. You're only looking for a horse that is in contention here to do this. You're not going to find it very often.
I'd like to ask Bob how he does that at Hawthorne.
I do it the same way at Hawthorne. Hawthorne is Hawthorne's a 2-turn. Yeah. Well, what I do at Hawthorne is I'll take the same 2 off, but at Arlington, when it was running, since the mile was down the straightaway out of a chute, I wouldn't adjust it at all. I'd leave it just like it was. Pardon me?
How about a longer mile?
It would depend on where it started. If there was a long straightaway, then there would be no need. Right. There would be no need to make any adjustment.
Belmont is a one-turn route, one-turn mile. It's up to the one-turn mile and eight, the one-turn mile and 16.
One-turn routes.
One-turn route.
Yeah, they're all treated that way.
You run a one-turn mile and an eighth?
Yeah.
Whoa.
This is a big
leap.
Welcome to the East Coast.
Run a one-turn mile and a quarter.
Are there any questions on how to mechanically make this change? I'm sure everybody has it clear.
What you said about Belmont, it's not two lengths? So what did you say?
One-fifth off the three-quarter mile time. One on your one-turn route. They have one on that, you don't have one-turn mile.
Yeah.
He raced with a shoot for an
okay.
Laurel has the one turn. For those of you from the way Laurel is.
He didn't have a shoot.
And if you have any question of mine how to do it, do an energy profile on your distances and you'll see. You'll see what the difference is between your sprint at three-quarters of a mile and your routes at three-quarters of a mile. And most, that's where we got it. We didn't make it up. And in most two-turn tracks, it's perfect. If you want to do it with energy, be more specific. You can do it that way, too. That's how you get the difference between one turns and two.
Yes?
Is the formula the same when you're using ultra scan and not worrying about the first fraction?
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to make the quarter mile.
No, you just take the two-fifths off and cut the beaten length in half.
Right.
Please fast forward and turn over.